Hi, and welcome to the Rare Business Podcast. My name is Adrian Swinsko, and I'm a consultant, advisor, researcher, and writer on all things related to customer service and customer experience. Through this podcast, I seek out and interview CEOs, entrepreneurs, business and tech leaders, and leading thinkers about what it takes to build organizations that produce better outcomes for both customers and employees in this fast-moving modern age that we live in. If this is your first time listening to one of these interviews, then welcome. And please do dive into the archives at adrianswinsko.com, as I've now completed over 250 of these interviews in the last few years. If this is not your first time listening, then thank you for returning, and I'll aim to do a good enough job to keep you coming back week after week. Anyway, that's enough from me right now. Let's get into the interview. So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, from the other side of the world, no less, is Matt Prowse, who is the Director of Customer Enablement at IAG, which is the Insurance Australia Group. Hi, Matt. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Adrian. It's a real pleasure to be here, and yes, I feel as though I've gone back in time. It's evening here and morning for you, so yes, good morning.
So, Matt, for the benefit of our listeners and also readers, can you tell us a bit about yourself and the work that you do?
Yes, thank you, Adrian. Well, as you mentioned, I'm the Director of Customer Enablement at Australia's largest general insurance company. Mm-hmm. We have brands operating across Asia, Australia, New Zealand are our sort of core markets. Mm-hmm. We've got about 12,000 employees across the region. Mm-hmm. And my role is really to help the business make decisions through the lens of our customer. And the way I do that is probably by focusing on the organization's head, heart, and hands. So right. my team is structured around customer understanding, or engaging our organization's head and making our customer insights consumable across the organization. From a heart perspective, we look at and manage a program called Customer Connections, which is all about helping our back office and employees connect their role to the customer experience. And from a hand perspective, it's helping the organization to be able to focus and prioritize on the things that matter most to our customers.
I love that. Head, heart, and hands. That's super simple.
Yes. Oh. And look, outside of work, I've got a beautiful wife, two loving kids. It's coming into summer here in Australia, so we're getting ready to swim and get out and just generally lather the sunscreen as much as possible.
Well, stay safe out there, as they say.
Yeah.
So, Matt, we actually met recently at a conference in South Africa where we were both speaking, and you were, I guess, probably the bravest man on the speaker roster, because you agreed to do the end keynote of a two-day conference, which is always a brave slot. But luckily enough, most people stuck around, and you had a packed room, and you left us with this pocket full of what I would call like inspiration and a lot of emotions and quite a few tears. I mean, I must say, I welled up a couple of times actually in the stories that you told with your positivity muscle story. I just loved it. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you about it, because I just love the story. I love what you've done. I love the impact it's kind of had and who's got involved and all that sort of stuff. And so before I give away what do you call it? Do a spoiler alert, as it were, on the whole thing. Can you give us a snapshot of this positivity muscle story movement thing that you created, how it came about, and kind of where you got started? Because I think it's just a story that would be really fascinating and useful and also inspirational and motivational for the folks that kind of listen in to the podcast.
Oh, look, thanks, Adrian. Yeah, look, that honestly was a highlight of my year, was attending that event, meeting sort of thought leaders like yourself, and you know, getting to share our little story from an organization in Australia on an international stage. So yeah, it was an absolute highlight. Look, I'd probably start just by, you know, explaining a little bit around why positivity is something that is so close to my heart.
Sure.
I am known affectionately across IAG as the happiest man in insurance, and yeah, like, it's official. it's on It's on our intranet. So yes, it is official, and it's something that permeates everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not by chance. It's not by luck. Positivity, like any other muscle, mm-hmm. requires discipline and daily focus to be able to become strong and to be able to maintain that strength.
Right.
And when we look at what's happening across the international stage, before working in insurance, I spent a good 15 to 20 years working in Australian media organizations.
Right.
So I can speak to some authority around how international media outlets are broadcasting death, gloom, terrorism like never before. And we humans are hardwired to retain these threats. It's part of our fight or flight reflex.
Yes.
And in fact, you can say that humans are 10 times more likely to retain threats in their hearts and in their heads than other news. So if we've got media that are relying on eyeballs and clicks to be able to monetize their services,
yeah.
is it any wonder that they're going to the 10-time magnifier effect of focusing and harnessing in on the threats and that doom and gloom that is being broadcast across the globe?
Mm.
I'm a massive Star Wars fan, so I liken it to be able to say that the dark side of the Force
yeah.
is 10 times stronger than the light side.
Wow.
So we as humans need to be able to balance that in ourselves, in the stories that we tell ourselves, in the stories that we share. And you can also liken that to customer experience programs,
yep.
where there is a tendency across customer experience programs across the globe, mine included, where there is this tendency to harness in on the negative parts of the program. We had set up detractor callbacks, service recovery calls, identifying pain points, identifying those opportunity areas where we could get the quick wins to improve the customer experience, going out and visiting front lines and seeing consultants where we could identify training opportunities. So everything was just completely geared around the negative parts of the experience. And when I start to have a look at our Voice of Customer program, you know, it's very easy to identify that the majority of customers coming through our organization were in fact having a positive experience. They were giving us 9s and 10s out of 10s, and they were giving some really constructive, great feedback around the experience that we delivered. But I really struggled to find those stories, nor look on our internal social media pages, and couldn't see any of these positive stories being shared across our organization.
So this is not, if I may interrupt, this is not a striving for going a complete another way. This is more about getting the right sort of balance in place. Am I right
yes.
in saying that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's around being focused and deliberate.
Yes.
In, you know, not removing detractors from your Voice of Customer program.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, that is the richness in identifying those opportunities are. But for me, and sort of my learnings across IAG has been around installing some balance to those stories so that, yes, we are focusing on those opportunity areas, but we're balancing it with, here are the bright spots across our organization. Here is what we're doing well through that customer experience lens. Here are the consultants that, you know what, day in, day out, turn up in probably one of the hardest jobs in the world,
sure.
Servicing customers each and every day, and they are doing it day in, day out with exceptional feedback from our customers. So how do we put them on the pedestal and reward and recognize them across our business?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do you find that when you think about, when you speak to other sort of, you know, peers and other people in other or colleagues across your IAG and other people across other organizations, do you find that there's a most CX programs are they get caught up in almost the fixing the problems and not getting that balance right?
Well, I think in the organizations that I've worked in and with customer experience managers and peers that I've spoken to through various events, I do feel as though there is a default to focus on those quick wins. And
right.
In any program, it is easier to be able to identify, here are some pain points. Let's get some teams focused in on fixing those pain points,
right.
To be able to demonstrate back to peers and finance in the organization that we are winning and improving the customer experience. I fear that a short-term view in spite of taking a more longer term view within these programs, I think there could be a focus for organizations to be able to create that balance and
right.
find out where those bright spots are and then use them to be able to drive improvements as well.
So I'm taking you away from your story. I'm going to shut up now and you can go back to your story. So please continue.
Okay. So I think the IAG With Thanks program started probably a couple of years ago, where I was a participant at a customer experience conference over in the States.
Uh-huh.
And I was lucky enough to hear Disney talk around their customer experience program,
mm-hmm.
And their purpose around creating happiness, and how their program was, very purposefully built to be able to focus in on those bright spots where their employees were delivering happiness to guests and customers.
Right.
So I came back and, had a bit of a critical look at our own program, and that's where it was a bit of a blinding realization that we did have a tendency to build the program with a very heavy focus on the negative parts of our program.
Right.
So small team came together when we put our heads together and said, right, so how might we start to explore some simple activities that can start to highlight these bright spots? And
right.
one of the simple activities that we did, and started a couple of weeks after we got back into Sydney from the States,
mm-hmm.
We got 15 back office staff, so mm-hmm. so colleagues that weren't interacting with customers in their normal day-to-day job,
mm-hmm.
And we brought them into a room under the guise of a new customer experience prototype program.
Right.
And when they walked in, we said, hey, guess what? Thank you for participating in our prototype. We're going to get you to call some customers today.
okay.
Because I fear not all of them would have turned up if we had put that in the invite.
Yeah.
But once they were in the room and we explained what we're going to do, I think there was a lot more warmly received of the actual prototype. And the exercise was really simple. So I pulled a list of advocates that morning, a group of customers that have replied to one of our surveys and had given us some positive customer feedback.
Mm-hmm.
We used those customers and we had the back office staff call those customers and say, thank you very much for completing our survey this morning. We want to acknowledge that we've received your feedback and wanted to thank you for being a valued customer of one of our insurance brands.
Right.
And at that point, the customer's going, yes, okay, well, that's great.
Uh-huh.
Then we coached the colleagues to say, now, the consultant that delivered that experience to you this morning, Dustin, we're writing a thank you note to be able to thank Dustin for delivering that great experience to you. Is there anything else you would like to pass on to Dustin?
Nice.
And it's at that point you can hear the customer go from, oh, this person's just trying to sell me some more insurance,
uh-huh.
to the big faceless insurance company is actually doing something a little bit human.
Uh-huh.
You can almost hear that transition from a customer's perspective. And it's at that point, 99.9% of customers start to go, oh, wow, okay, well, Dustin, he was fantastic. He really explained the products in a really simple way. He even saved me a bit of money. He was absolutely fantastic. So please pass on my sincere thanks, and I'll be talking to Dustin next year. So all the people participating in the event would write that on a thank you note and then post it to our consultants.
Right.
And a couple of days later, depending on how our internal mail is working on that particular day, the consultant would receive this random thank you note saying, hey, congratulations on delivering another great customer experience to one of our customers. They said, blah, blah, blah. Thank you very much. So it's a really, really simple premise.
Yes.
And for me, it ticks like three really simple things. So the customers, our customers who have taken the time to complete a survey, feel valued and listened to, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Our frontline colleagues, the real magicians in our organization,
yes.
are recognized for doing such great things in our organization.
Yes.
And we've got a whole group of leaders and back office staff that don't get to talk to or experience customers each and every day, are speaking to real humans, to real customers, and they're connecting their back office role to our purpose as an organization. So it's a really simple exercise that
yes.
once scaled really starts to drive some cultural transformation from a people perspective.
But I think the thing that also, I mean, I love the idea. I mean, it's kind of, it's beautifully simple and but really powerful. And it's the stuff that it's the stuff that people talk about. And imagine people started talking about that, and the talk of it kind of went around the organization like wildfire. In fact, actually, I know that for a fact because you told us about that, because it actually got picked up and put on the radar of, or it got put on the radar of the leadership team, and then kind of evolved from there in terms of the senior leadership team. Can you tell me how about that kind of happened, and then what happened next? Because I think that's a really, when you talk about the scale bit, it's that when you get leadership involved in this type of thing, then it starts to really turn some heads, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, look, it was really surprising from my perspective at how quickly the good news did spread.
Yes.
Those 15 original participants, after doing that prototype session, all left with a real buzz. Like, I made calls myself, and there is something really nice about connecting with a real human and doing something nice for the real magicians in the organization, those frontline people. And the participants absolutely felt that same way. So they were sharing stories on our Yammer intranet page, saying that they'd just spoken to a customer and calling out consultants. So it just so happened that at a sort of similar time, our head of internal communications was planning for our senior leaders summit, where we bring 140 of our most senior international leaders and executives from around the globe. We converge into our Sydney head office, and they have 2 days to be able to talk around strategy and what the focus is for the next 12 months.
Sure.
And my head of internal comms got wind of these stories and reached out to me and said, look, Matt, can you explain what this IAG with Thanks program is? And we did a couple of calls ourselves, and I think he saw the light and said, wow, how would we get each one of our leaders to do this?
Right.
And pretty much just tasked it with me and said, Matt, you've got 2 hours. You're going to open up the whole Senior Leader Summit, and our objectives are to have every leader connect with customer and really set the tone for what the Senior Leader Summit was going to do, and that was to bring our customer experience strategy to life and to be able to make sure that our leaders were role modeling what does a customer-centric leader really do in terms of their behavior. So, yes, I was quietly scared senseless. I think in our presentation I said I was shitting my pants, if you excuse the French, but after getting over the original fears, I sort of started to realize how much of an awesome opportunity this was. And we sort of opened up the session. We had two busloads of leaders moving from our head office over to Parramatta, which is our customer contact center. We wanted to be in the heart of where our customer interactions were being generated. And I opened up, and I must admit there was some quite scared faces looking back at me when I said that, yes, welcome to the Senior Leader Summit. We're going to open up this Senior Leaders Conference by each and every one of us talking to some customers. For some of our leaders, it had been some time since they had last talked to a customer, and insurance is a very complicated product. So there were some concerned faces looking up to me, but after I walked them through the process, we're talking to advocate customers. Mm-hmm. These are customers that have had a great experience. And I think there was a few sort of faces that approached it with gusto.
Yes.
In fact, there were a few leaders that were getting quite competitive in terms of how many customers they eventually called. We're trying to make a race out of it, which is absolutely great. I think out of the 90 minutes, we probably spent a good 45 minutes calling customers. We ended up reaching 450 over the session, where we had 450 handwritten thank you notes written, many of which our leaders and executives hand delivered to the consultants upstairs within the contact center.
Awesome.
And I can still see the look on the consultants' faces when they received their thank you note. It was just pure magic.
Fantastic. And has that become, I mean, that's gone all the way through, because that even involved board members as well, didn't it?
Yes. So subsequent to running that session with all of our leaders, our organization has sort of tasked me on the back of that session was, Matt, this is great. We did it to open up our conference. How do we build this in to be more of an organizational discipline? So how do we make sure that we're not doing at the annual conference, but how do we actually build this into part of our organizational DNA?
Sure.
Which is a much broader challenge to go and tackle.
Uh-huh.
So there are sort of multiple initiatives that my team and I have been working on sort of since that. Some have been great, some have failed miserably, but at least we've learned from them.
Sure.
Which is awesome. I think one of the key elements that we've implemented on the back of that Senior Leader Summit has been an annual Customer Love Week.
Right.
I know many organizations across the globe have a week where it's completely focused on celebrating all that is from a customer perspective. But for us, that is a real signal back to all of our colleagues around the importance of customer experience and the importance of those positive stories, and giving every one of our 12,000 people the opportunity to be able to go and talk to an actual customer.
Right.
So we always build that week program around Valentine's Day, so
okay.
that we can use that day to be able to demonstrate love back to our customers. And in each of our foyers across our organization, we set up phone booths so that colleagues, as they come into the buildings in each of our head offices or in our contact centers, can make a simple call on the way in, thank a customer, thank one of their fellow peers, and then go into office to enjoy their day with a little injection of positivity to start the day.
Nice. That's cool. And so have the leaders continued with that sort of that discipline, or developing that kind of habit of calling customers on a regular basis as well, to almost to demonstrate kind of that it's almost like a leadership plus sort of thing around the commitment to and making the time and showing its importance and so on and so forth. So I guess, well, have they kind of done that? Have they continued to do that?
Oh, look, if I were to sit here and say that every one of those 140 leaders were all doing it as part of a weekly discipline, I think all of your listeners will call BS on me straight away. So I am by no means not going to say that.
Yeah.
I will say that we do have a group of highly engaged leaders that have built it as part of their ongoing discipline and
right.
use it in their storytelling across the organization with their teams, with our shareholders, with our board, who, as you mentioned, also do calls throughout that Customer Love Week, which is a great signal to our business and our shareholders.
Yes.
The probably key learning for me has been, how do I make it easy and simple for those leaders to be able to make it a discipline?
Yeah.
I think when we first launched it, there was a heavy reliance on my team and I to provide them with those customer details, to be able to walk them through the process, and to be able to be on their back around making the calls, to
yeah.
be honest.
Yeah.
And we have been quite lucky working with our voice of customer supplier, Medallia.
Yeah.
And when we sort of put our heads together to be able to say, look, here's our problem. How might we help automate the process so that leaders can access some simple advocate customers and be able to use that to be able to make calls simply and easily without having to rely on my team and I to be able to provide them with the information. So
sure.
we made a simple improvement to our Medallia platform, to our Medallia software, that looked at replicating the detractor callback process
right.
that we had built and geared around service recovery, that had everything automated within the platform, that had emails being sent to particular teams in our business so that we could call customers within 24 hours and be able to try and recover the bad experience that they've had. We said, look, how might we just replicate that from a back-end perspective,
yeah.
but only focus it on advocates and
yes.
set up some different user groups? So we effectively automated that advocate process, which gave us ability to be able to track leaders as they made the calls, to be able to track who was making calls on a regular basis, to be able to go and recognize and reward those leaders that were doing as part of an ongoing discipline. And that was really the flip that helped us scale the program
right
across within IAG.
I mean, I that's it's great, but you also can you talk about not everybody's gonna do it or commit to it. I mean, it reminds me of that whole that old saying, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, sort of thing. So you almost like give them the opportunity, provide them with the tools, but then some people will pick it up and run with it, and other people might just dip the toe in the water and go, maybe not for me. But and that's kind of fine, because otherwise, if you end up making it mandatory, there is a danger that it becomes robotic in many ways.
Yes.
And therefore you have to have willing participants who then they themselves become, as you say, advocates and storytellers of their own right. They see the value and they make it make sense for them. So it's not making an assumption that there's a one size of leadership fits all, as it were. And that's a good thing. So this is all great, and I love the idea. It's kind of that balance sort of thing. But how has it impacted the business in terms of results, like business results, employee, customer happiness, and engagement, that type of stuff? Because I guess that's from a senior leadership and the shareholders' perspective, that's kind of some of the things that they're going to be focused on. Like going, that's all very nice, but what does it mean?
Yes.
It's costing us time and money, but where's the return? So what's happened in terms of business results?
Yeah, look, for me, it is driven predominantly through the gut. And if it feels right, it's absolutely going to be right.
Mm-hmm.
One of the pieces of research that I used to be able to help kickstart this program in its very, very, very early stages came from our not-for-profit sectors.
Right.
And they've done a lot of research in this space around what are the business impacts from calling to thank donors after they do their first donation.
Okay.
And some of their research highlights that when leaders and parts of the business made thank you calls within 48 hours of receiving a donation,
mm-hmm.
those people that were called gave on average 39% more than those that weren't called. And from a longevity perspective, the year after, so 12 months later, their donations were 42% higher than the groups that weren't thanked.
Right.
So for me, there is something quite simple in that around the power of having a simple thank you.
Yes.
For me, also, it all boils down to the stories that it generates afterwards and trying to put a value on the amount of stories that our internet gets flooded with after I run some of these events is going to be quite difficult to do. But I've got two quotes that I wanted to share because I think these are actual quotes. I'm not going to put the names on them because I haven't asked their permission, but these are actual quotes.
Yes.
The first one is an actual quote from one of our back office colleagues that participated in their first With Thanks session 4 weeks ago.
Right,
And they wrote to me saying, such a great opportunity for everyone to connect with a real-life IAG customer and say thanks. Heartwarming, tears welling, and such a sense of pride and our purpose being brought to life. So
that's cool.
If that's not gonna have an effect on their EMPS, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
And then here's the results from a consultant. So I received a very kind thank you card from you today. Thank you for your acknowledgement. It's nice to be recognized. I always make sure I give the customer a great experience, and getting the card from you shows that what I do can and does make a difference. Thank you.
Well, that's it. That just kind of squares the circle, I guess. It kind of shows you kind of why it matters. It's about, you know, about recognizing kind of people, closing the kind of the circle, kind of like, you know, and sometimes the right things are not necessarily, they don't necessarily have straight through obvious kind of business results, but actually if they make people feel good and feel recognized and appreciated and everything else, then, and they don't take a lot of kind of time, you know, and effort, then they're just the right things to do, right?
Yes.
And absolutely. So Matt, you're in the middle of all this sort of stuff, and you know, and you talk about different kind of things. I mean, How is all this kind of, you know, evolved? I mean, is there other things that you've been doing that have had like a similar sort of impact? Are you just kind of building on this? Is it just like a momentum sort of engine that you start one thing and you get it going? You might start some things that don't quite work, but you just kind of you put them aside and then you start kind of you start adding more things into the mix. I mean, how has it evolved over time?
Yeah, so that's a great question. It has been constantly evolving sort of since we ran that first prototype session. We and my team are quite blessed by having an exec team that is very supportive of these type of initiatives. Mm-hmm. We put customer experience in our strategy purposefully, and it's not words in a strategy document. It is lived behaviors by our leaders. So,
sure.
You know, my team and I feel very supported to be able to prototype these type of initiatives. And as a senior leadership team, they are extremely willing to have my team come and play with them,
right.
To be able to test different types of initiatives. In fact, last week I was invited to facilitate a whole day session with our program delivery team,
mm-hmm.
Who are embedded in projects right across our organization. And to be able to finish the day off, I once again wanted to finish on a positive note and be able to bring to life what all these projects actually mean.
Mm.
We did a bit of a bespoke session where we had each of those participants have the opportunity to be able to thank customers.
Right.
And then we bookended that with some of the other customer experience frameworks, like our customer journey and our common language and what customer insights are we seeing, so that we can relate that back to the projects and initiatives that they were supporting. So
right.
I think where we have managed to be able to drive the most change is where we've built a much more bespoke type experiential event for a particular team and really drive those connections to what they're working on and what are they challenged with and what are some of the opportunities and bright spots that they're working on. How do we create that real tactile link to what they're doing each and every day and the decisions that they're making? How does that impact a customer? When we get that right, the event or the experience is phenomenal. Where we don't quite get that right, we potentially, you know, miss the boat, but we have introduced some frameworks and some customer elements that may help down the track if it hasn't helped at that particular decision point.
I think the really interesting thing and possibly the lesson here for all people is that the more that you can do to connect people to one each other and also the customers that they ultimately are kind of serving, the more likely that you're going to make the work that they do become feel more real, and it's almost because they get a more visceral connection to the impact that they have. Because you know, I was speaking to somebody else the other day, and they were talking about, oh yeah, I was put to this, you know, we have all these digital teams. And he sort of scoffed and he went, no, none of them have ever spoken to a customer. You know, heaven forbid. And you think, so how does that become real? And I think that's kind of what I think is brilliant about what you're doing is that they're trying to fold in some of these opportunities to get people to connect, whether it's via the phone or video or kind of face-to-face or whatever, with the people that are ultimately the end users or consumers or customers of your products, and then to help them understand kind of what it actually feels like and kind of almost the good work that is actually kind of being done. So I think the more people that do that, the better, I would suggest.
Yes, absolutely agree.
So Matt, what are the kind of, out of all the stuff that you've done, what do you think are the big, apart from that maybe, what are the other big lessons you think for leaders and organizations based on what you've done and what you've kind of learned?
So I think, as I've touched upon in this conversation already, I think one of the really big things has been this notion around empathy as a discipline.
Right.
It, it's very easy to attend the team planning day or the senior leaders conference that happens on an annual or quarterly basis, and to have the customer team invited in to do a keynote or facilitate a half-day session, and you know, perhaps even bring customers in and actually have some conversations with real customers. I think that is great, and it's a great starting point. But unless it is or it becomes part of an ongoing cadence, part of that DNA,
sure,
as you and I talked about in South Africa,
yeah,
unless it starts to become that, it can very quickly become just a signaling tool. Just
sure.
Oh yes, it's part of our strategy. We need to have customer. I'll do it, but I can quickly go back to my day job when this conference finishes.
Sure.
The real challenge for us has been how do we help to be able to build this as more of a DNA or discipline to be able to help give access to more and more of our people. And
yes,
that's an ongoing battle for my team and I.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone out there has solved that, please post in comments or get in contact, because I'd love to be able to have a conversation about that.
Perfect.
So I think where I have been focused is those group of leaders that are highly engaged, those
yeah.
evangelists, those first movers. I'm focusing my energy and time on those.
Yeah.
And that's where we're really starting to see dividends. And if that would be my lesson to anyone out there, it would be exactly that, is around find those evangelists. They could be in the most uncanny places. We're a very risk-driven organization,
yeah.
Where some of my strongest advocates have come from our risk team, from our underwriting team, from our program delivery team, and these are the people that are spreading the gospel of customer on our behalf. So if you can get them, you can effectively create a loudspeaker for your voices.
Perfect. So, you know, a couple of final questions come about. So if we've done the big lessons, and that's all great, and there's, you know, if we spend time, you know, trawling the internet, we can, lessons abound from different people's experiences, but sometimes actually it's the first step that catches people out. So if I was to say to you, if you were to advise somebody on what you think they should do first to get started down their own sort of journey in terms of injecting their own sort of level of positivity into their own organization or their own team, where should they start? What's the first thing that you think they should consider doing?
Oh, wow. Okay. I would say the first thing would be to ask yourself, when was the last time you genuinely spoke to one of your customers? And if it's more than a week, the first thing I would be doing is going out there and speaking to one of your customers would be the first and foremost thing to do. And then deliberately and purposefully put that in your calendar to make that part of your own discipline and DNA. To force myself, when I first joined our customer experience team, we had a somewhat, I wouldn't call it mature, but we had a voice of customer program. And to be able to force my habit, I set myself a challenge on our Yammer,
mm-hmm.
was to, for 100 days,
right.
So 100 business days, I posted a piece of positive customer feedback each and every day for 100 days, so that I was forcing myself to not only look and review customer feedback, highlight what were some of those themes that I was seeing, and then publicly post it each and every day, so that I was spreading those positive stories across our intranet. So for me, that had was just such a great behavior shift for myself.
Yes.
In terms of creating that discipline on looking and finding those customer stories, which helped present themes and a whole raft of examples and real customer pieces of feedback that I could use right across the organization when I was trying to influence change at the various levels in our organization. So, yeah, first and foremost, start to make it part of your own discipline, because you are the chief storytellers in your organization. And when you start to break it down, there's so many different sources of stories that are happening right now in your organizations. So you don't need to have a structured voice of customer program, although a lot of organizations do these days.
Yep.
But your customers are talking about your experiences, whether you like it or not. So how do you tap in and be able to start to highlight those voice of customers and not just focus on here's where the experience was really bad. Here's where we're doing an absolute phenomenal job as well, making sure that you're restoring balance in your own storytelling and force. Very simple to be able to set up your own version of a customer connections program.
Yes.
So I built our customer connections program 5 years ago. Once again, started off by hosting our product and underwriting team out at our Hurstfield Contact Center. It started off with 10 participants where we brought head office staff out to one of our frontline areas where we now host over 1,500 head office staff out at one of our frontline areas each and every year. And that's just a phenomenal source of actual customer interactions and stories that those head office staff can take back into their respective teams and use in their team times and team meetings and engagements across the business.
Fantastic.
And then the third idea is a very simple program that we call in IAG Customer Heroes.
Right.
And that's a simple program where you have your frontline team managers nominate their peers or their team members who are delivering great customer experiences to individuals or businesses, depending on what type of business you're in. But those frontline parts of your business, if you can start to have a reward and recognition program.
Yeah.
For us, we didn't have any cash behind it. It was a simple customer hero cape, a $15 cape that had a logo on it that we sourced from the States.
Yeah.
That was our prize. And team managers across our business still wear those capes with pride. But for me, it generated hundreds of stories each and every month that I could use to be able to showcase across our business. So simple things that don't cost anything apart from a bit of your time that are easily actionable, that are going to arm you with those rich stories that you can go and take out to the rest of your business.
Matt, you rock. That's all I'm going to say. That's awesome. Final thing is, is there anything that you missed out that you kind of want to add into this? Because, I think you've just given us such a long list of great ideas, but also, I feel inspired kind of like, with all the stuff as well. But anything else you want, that we've missed out that you want to add?
Oh, look, I suppose the only other thing I would probably touch upon is, and we have been talking about this throughout our conversation so far, has been just this focus on emotion.
Mm.
Emotion in the customer experience, emotion in the colleague experience. And, there's no better place than your podcast than to probably finish our conversation around this really important link between customer experience and people experience, and the power of emotion to be able to differentiate experiences. And it's something that customer experience pros right across the globe are having a much more renewed focus on, and that is how are your customers feeling after they interact with your brand, and how are your colleagues feeling as they go through their employee journey, and just the importance of making sure that you are capturing that, whether it be through stories or other ways of being able to capture that, but using that at the nucleus, and not just focusing, as so many organizations are at the moment, around the easy and effective.
Yes.
I'm not saying don't focus on that, but for me, that is not the long-term game. The long-term game is being really purposeful with how you want your employees, your colleagues, and your customers to feel after those interactions, and that is where you drive a long-term customer experience strategy.
Matt, that's brilliant. And so I think that's a good note to end on. And before I end, I just want to say, you know what? You are a hero. You are leading the way. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I wanted to ask you on the podcast to share your story, because IAG is not a small organization. How many employees do you have?
Roughly 12,000 employees.
A decent size, a very, very decent sized firm in the scheme of things, which kind of shows that this stuff can be done no matter how big your organization. And so I want to say, first of all, thank you for your time and for sharing your story with us. Congratulations on your success. And thank you once more for being such an inspiration, just and also to me because of this, because what you've done and how you're doing, and just also who you are. So thank you.
Thank you, Adrian. Honestly, this has been an honor chatting with you. I thoroughly enjoyed our chats in South Africa, and this has just been one of those real natural experiences that I was a little bit nervous coming into, but you make it so easy. So, mate, thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
Cheers. Have a great day.
You too.
Well, that's it for another interview. I really hope you enjoyed it. Now, every time I complete one of these interviews, I learn something new. And I try and incorporate that new learning into my writing, my speaking, my workshops, and the consulting that I do for my clients. If you're interested, you can find out more about how I work with clients over at adriansfrimsco.com. But one final thing before I go, please consider heading over to iTunes or whichever podcast platform you choose to use, and do leave a review. Every little helps, as they say. Anyway, that's all for now. Thank you for listening, and do listen in again. All the very best.